everybody.
Hi, guys. Well, from beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah.
It's Thank God I'm Atheist.
The podcast.
I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm Dan Beecher.
And coming up today, it's a new year, Dan.
Oh.
Or at least in a couple days.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Probably when you're listening to us, it is. And so we want to talk about it being a new year.
People,
maybe a new you. There's a new you waiting for you, Dan.
Uh-oh.
For you, Dan.
Is he better looking? That'd be nice.
Quite possibly.
We're gonna
if that's what you want, that's what you get, Dan.
We're going to talk about what you, ladies and gentlemen, should definitely, 100%, it is our command that you do in the upcoming year of 2019.
Yeah. But first, Dan.
Yeah.
I'd like to take us to Spain.
Ah.
For a little story about a village that has recently uncovered the fact that their priest is fake. They have a fake priest, Dan.
Oh, no!
He showed up a couple years ago, started priesting.
Uh-huh.
Performing marriages, baptisms, hearing confessions, etc. Doing everything a priest would do. And he's fake.
Wow. Like this is a Catholic thing?
Catholic Church. This is...
Because usually they're pretty organized.
Miguel Angel Ibarra.
Okay.
Okay. He was... oh, I'm sorry. He was pretended to be a Roman Catholic priest for 18 years. Yeah.
Yes! Yes!
I think that 18 years might be wrong. I think it was 18 months.
Oh.
It says 18 years there, though. So maybe he was pretending to be a priest in Colombia as well, which is where he's from. He moved to Spain from Colombia in October of 2017.
Oh, okay.
And he's been in charge of the church in the village of Medina Sidonia, which is home to about 11,000 people.
Sure.
Right?
Cute
ever
little
since.
Town. They needed a little church.
Yeah. Apparently this has been a thing in Spain. They're having a hard time with their youngsters convincing them to become priests.
To priestify.
Why, I don't know. It seems like a wonderful life of celibacy, right?
Who,
seems wonderful.
Who wouldn't want to be that?
Well, anyway, so they've been importing priests from South America often, right?
Sure.
They speak Spanish already.
Yeah.
And
true believers.
True believers. They've got priests coming out of their ears.
Yeah.
Right? So, anyway, the Catholic Church has announced that the marriages and baptisms carried out by the fake priest will remain valid, but you're going to have to go back and redo those confessions. those are not valid.
That is amazing. Like the thought, okay, well, you know, the things, but look, you're not really absolved of those sins. You went through the right motions and everything, and
yep,
we applaud you for it, but doesn't count. Get back in there and tell somebody who can really appreciate your
yeah,
dirty, dirty mind.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Can you fucking believe that?
That's awesome.
I love it. This guy.
I want to know, A, how he found out about the vacancy. Like, how did he find out about this job? And then the balls to just walk into a parish and be like, I'm the new guy. Hi, everybody. And nobody's like, we didn't get a letter about that. That's weird. Nobody shoots off a quick email.
Right.
No, nobody checks anything. It's just like, welcome. Come on in.
What is the diocese role in this whole thing?
Go live over there. Yeah, exactly. I mean, theoretically,
a priest showed up at the diocese and was just like, hi, I'm so-and-so from Colombia. You sent for me. And they were like shuffling the papers around and they're like, I don't remember. I don't remember. Did you ask for a new priest?
Sister Maria is so disorganized. We've got to get a new person handling the... I like to think that he just showed up Vicar of Dibley style at the church and then could just shield everybody because like then all of the missives, all of the questions about it would just go to him.
Right.
Or would go to the church, and he can just say, give me the email address and give me the logins and everything, and he just changes it all up. and make sure that, like, he gets all of the mail and everything.
Right.
He can shield the entire community from the Vatican. He can keep them from getting wise.
Well, I don't know how all that works in the Catholic Church, but, yeah, the guy, he pulled it off somehow. I think, honestly, though, the article references falsified, like, certificates.
Sure.
And so
I think it can be hard.
I think he probably was in Colombia, found a listing, a help wanted ad, right, in Spain, and sent them falsified, you know, credentials, essentially. And
I
then when they, like, flew him over and he shows up, he's wearing, he went to some, you know, shop in Colombia and bought all the garb.
Priest surplus supply. Absolutely.
Ripped it off from some local priest. I mean, who knows, you know?
I love it. That's great.
And then
great.
Got to live in Spain for a while.
It sucks when somebody pretends to be in charge of a pretend thing. That is the worst. When
I know.
You know.
How dare he make a
He was not qualified to do that thing that they're all pretending to do. To spout all of that fake nonsense.
Fake authority to act with fake authority.
What's next? Fake naturopaths?
Oh my God. He's been masquerading as a homeopath.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man.
I love it.
All right, I'm gonna take us to Kyiv in Ukraine, where now I have been following, and I've been forcing all of our listeners to also follow the twists and turns of the Ukrainian Patriarchate of the Orthodox Eastern Orthodox Christian Church.
Yes,
trying to break itself away from the Russian Patriarchate.
Uh-huh.
And getting permission to do so and whatever. There's a new interesting wrinkle in this.
Oh.
My side of our show is going to be a lot about church and state not being separated in a lot of countries this week.
Okay. I got one of those too, actually.
Interesting. So in this case, the president of Ukraine, Petro Poroshenko, has signed a bill. This went through parliament, signed a bill ordering the Ukrainian Orthodox Church to explicitly indicate that they are linked to the Moscow Patriarchate. So now there's two. There's a split, and there's the Ukrainian Orthodox Church that's not connected to the Russians.
Right.
And then there's the ones that are connected to the Russians.
Oh.
And now the government has insisted that they make it clear which one they are for branding purposes.
Oh,
for
okay.
accurate branding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Put a little seal on the door.
Yeah, or like, you know, a little sickle and hammer or something.
Of course.
I'm not sure how one, a bear. How do you indicate we're the Russian one and not the Ukrainian one?
Yeah, I don't know.
We're the Russian Ukrainian one.
Probably just some words.
Okay, fine. I like to go symbolic. Just a picture of Putin looking angrily at you.
Yeah.
That's the church you want to go
blessing
to.
Blessing you. Yeah, angrily blessing you.
Right, yeah, exactly. So that's happening now. I didn't realize. I thought that they would just kick the Russians to the curb completely and just take over all of the stuff. But now there's apparently I mean, the schism I thought would happen between Ukraine and Russia, but it's apparently happening in Ukraine.
Wow.
Skun-tun-tun.
It's wow. It's an amazing update on that.
Not sure why you'd give me shit about that. I find it interesting, but okay.
It's very nuanced, Dan.
Well, yeah.
It is fascinating.
I'm really interested. I keep watching it going, I'm just fascinated by what's happening.
How things skizz.
Well, and just Russian power plays are kind of a big deal in the universe right now.
Right.
And it's interesting watching the Russian government, which basically the Russian Orthodox Church is now a puppet organization for the Russian government.
Right.
And watching how they're trying to use it as an instrument of influence within other countries.
Yeah.
And stuff. It's very interesting.
Huh.
So to combat that influence, the Ukrainian government has had to force them to reveal that they are not the Ukrainian ones.
Right.
They're the Russian ones.
We should do something about online posts.
Yes.
And a requirement with Russia.
Yeah.
Is this just a post or is this a Russian post?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Dan.
Yes.
Germany is considering introducing a new tax effectively in sort of their church tax system.
Okay.
Germany's one of those countries that collects essentially tithes.
Yeah, you declare which religion that you are, and
right.
then they just collect it in your income tax or whatever, and then give it to the church.
They give it to the church, right? And it's one-stop shop.
It's some bullshit is what it is.
It's a little bit of bullshit because there's a it creates this blurring of the lines between separation of church and state and blah, blah, blah.
Well, it also makes it sort of this compulsory thing where you either have to spell out that you're not of a religion or that you don't want to continue giving,
mm-hmm.
or you will just compulsorily give to a church.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
I do. I would too.
Yeah.
If I lived in Germany.
Yeah.
However, they're considering something that I think is very interesting. They're looking at doing a mosque tax.
Oh.
So if you've declared that you're Muslim,
mm-hmm.
you would be taxed the same way. They would collect the money and then they would give it to the sort of Muslim churches.
They
not
weren't
churches, Muslim mosques.
They weren't doing that before?
They were not doing it.
Oh, weird.
They've only done it for Christian groups up until this point. And
I wonder if there have been some Muslims who weren't paying attention and were getting taxed and it was just going to some Christian church.
I think it has to do with what you declare, like
yeah.
what box you check, right? You're Lutheran? All right. Lutheran money.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, this is seen as a move to lessen foreign influence over Germany's mosques.
Huh.
Because right now there's a lot of foreign groups that give to mosques
right.
and sort of prop them up and supply them with imams, et cetera, et cetera. And they're often more fringy type
yeah.
versions of Islam
right.
where a lot of this
yeah,
money
yeah.
comes
they're
from.
Extremism.
I know Saudi Arabia, they fund mosques wildly
left
around
right.
the globe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that they get this sort of Wahhabist
and then they get a little bit of
ideology
exactly
pumped in.
And so this is actually being supported by a wide swath of people. In fact, progressives, or I guess maybe more liberals and conservatives alike, as well as more progressive Muslims
yeah.
in the nation are all looking at this and going, well, this is actually this could be a good thing.
If nothing else, If nothing else, it seems fair. Like if they're going to do it for the Christians, I mean, at least it's starting to kick in a little bit of fairness, but also, yeah, it's interesting to say, look, you're going to get the funding you need from your patricianers. What is the word I'm looking for? Is that a word? Did I just say a word? Anyway,
community.
From the people who go to your church. Yeah.
Hell. When in doubt, just go with a different word.
Yeah.
There's a progressive mosque in Berlin, the founder of which, or one of the founders of this group, maybe the founder, who knows, Sarin Aitz, she has this to say. Islam in Germany has a huge influence from outside, from foreign countries. German Muslims have to stand up themselves. They have to take care of their own religion here in Germany. So Muslims in Germany should do something for Islam in Germany. It's kind of an interesting thing. I'm against these kind of taxes in general, but like you said, fair is fair. If they're going to do it for one, they might as well do it for the other. And if it has the side effect of also being a means of ensuring that the money this outside influence is minimized. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's a positive thing. Probably. Who knows? Who knows?
They might still be getting the foreign money, and they're going to be getting the domestic money.
Yeah, maybe now they're just funding the Wahhabists. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh my God, who knows?
But it comes from their own people. So, I mean, it's not like Germans are going to be screaming about my money's going to a mosque. Of course, Americans would be screaming about that because they refuse to like actually understand what anything actually
how anything
is.
Works.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I am going to take us to the Indian city of Puri.
Aha.
Over there on the east coast of India.
Oh, yeah.
Where there is a temple in at the Jagannath Temple, which has for the longest time, for centuries, had these priests who control it and run all the rituals and everything. Jagannath is apparently a revered deity in Hinduism and Buddhism and in Jainism.
What?
Yeah, they share. Don't worry. It's okay.
How weird. No, yeah. I don't like that at all.
The temple itself is 12th century.
Mm.
So it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Thousands of people come each year to see it.
Right, yeah.
And the priests that take care of it are all theoretically derived from lineage, from your heritage. You inherit priesthood in this group.
Oh.
From King Anagabima.
Excellent. Well done, Dan.
Nailed it. Anyway, this king basically declared himself to be the sole deputy of Jagannath.
Oh.
And then all of his descendants were the ones who got to be the priests. Well, apparently, I mean, we've reported on things like this happening throughout India.
Uh-huh.
The courts are getting involved because these temples and stuff theoretically belong to everybody.
Right. Yeah. Of course.
So they're thinking that it's not fair for you to be able to become a priest. And the priests, by the way, are getting a little unruly. Like, when you go there, they might harass you for money based on, you know, if you want a certain ritual or a rite or whatever, they'll really give you, put the screws to you.
Really?
So,
high pressure.
They've been putting people off lately. So, the courts have ruled that, they're going to dissolve the hereditary nature of these priests.
No, courts can't just do that. This is the will of gods.
Well,
right,
deities. You think deities aren't subject to courts?
You cannot. How dare you? The wrath of whatever that guy's name is
of Jagannath.
Jagannath. Oh my God, you're going to upset him?
Yeah, so, yeah, they've...
No, these are his priests.
They're kicking these guys out. Or maybe they can reapply. But now the Indian Supreme Court is looking toward a merit-based priest system.
Oh my God, what about all these displaced priests? Are they like some kind of like job training type service? Like, is there something for them to fall back on? Because I mean, like,
they themselves are asking.
Know.
That's what, you know, that they're... Here's one priest who said, "We consider ourselves living relatives of the deity. My ancestors served King..." Oh man, I'm not going to say the name. "During the 13th century. Where do we go if our livelihood is taken away?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway.
Just kicking them to the curb. This is terrible.
And it is like it does bring up a lot of questions about who owns the temple, mm-hmm. about who has to manage it, because it's all supported by donations from visitors. So like, who's in charge when, you know, it seems very squishy. It all seems very squishy to me.
Yeah.
But they'll figure it out.
There are no deeds to the property.
Yeah, I guess not. I don't know.
Or I don't. I don't. By some...
It does seem weird. It seems like It just seems like, at least through some sort of common law, these people own that property. These priests.
You think, right?
You know what I mean? Like, it's handed down.
And if you're going to come to here.
It in the family.
And they want to, like, you know, harass.
It's their business.
I mean, it's a bad business practice. They might want to come up with a new model.
Yeah.
Of some kind.
But
a little bit more customer service oriented or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know?
They just need to get some American capitalists in there.
Yeah.
Somebody with an MBA from some mid-level college.
Clean that place right up.
They'll just whip it into shape.
Yeah. Give you like a good little script, a little pre-approved, you know.
Welcome
to the blah, blah, blah temple. I am so-and-so, and I will be your guide today.
Some profit and loss charts going?
Are you here for healing?
Please follow brother so-and-so.
Not anymore. All right. Well, Dan.
Yeah.
Here's some interesting findings recently from Gallup.
Okay.
Survey that they do on a fairly regular basis, almost probably an annual basis.
Oh.
They check in with the American public to see which professions are sort of the most trusted, that are viewed by the public as the most honest, right? And among the list is clergy.
Oh.
They ask about the clergy. How do you feel about their honesty and their trustworthiness?
It's a bad time to be asking that question, actually.
Do you trust them? The number is at a historic low. What do you think that number is? Who would say that they have very high or high opinion of the honesty and ethical standards of the clergy?
I mean, it's still got to be kind of high because they're like the clergy still and people are still believers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. 50?
37%.
Jesus Christ
indeed.
That is how far they have fallen.
Yeah, from their historic high in 1985 of, what do you think?
78.
67% was the highest that they've ever achieved since they started asking the question in 1977.
Uh-huh.
Okay. In the most recent survey, 43% rated the clergy's honesty and ethics as average, and 15% had a lower, very low opinion of the clergy. Others on the list, Dan, if you happen to be a nurse, a medical doctor, or a pharmacist, congratulations. Your professions are very highly rated. Over 2/3 of Americans view these professions very, very favorably.
What about podcasters? I feel like
nurses
are really
84%,
high.
Actually. 84%. Can you
yeah.
Podcasters doesn't make the list. However, I guess maybe what would we fall under? Probably none of the things listed here. High school teachers, 60%. Police officers, 54%. Accountants, still above the clergy, 42%. Funeral directors, still above the clergy at 39%.
Car dealers.
Car dealers are actually 8%.
Yeah. Okay.
Along with members of Congress.
So the clergy at least have them beat.
Oh, yeah. And so, stockbrokers.
God damn, that's a low bar.
And lawyers. And labor union leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Real estate agents.
Yeah.
Bankers, building contractors. And journalists. A third of the nation feels positively
fun
that they can trust journalists at 33%. Yeah. Yeah, obviously this ebbs and flows with whatever's going on,
sure.
And it would not surprise anybody, I'm sure, that Catholics view their clergy at a much lower level of honesty than Protestants do. The Catholics were something like 31% viewed them favorably, and Protestants were like 48%.
Yeah, and that is what's sad about that is that it's because Catholics have a unique problem where it's so centralized, like the organization is so big that they do shit like the shuffling around and stuff. And when they get caught, it's a huge number of people that get caught. Whereas if everything's decentralized and it's just one parish and they happen to have had two, you know, evil people among them, they can just dismiss that as, I mean, that's two. The Catholics have like hundreds and hundreds and whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah, your opinion of the clergy is the guy who's right there.
Right, exactly. Right, yeah. And he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
He did that thing that one time, but he's a good guy mostly.
Yeah, when the Boston Globe first broke the story about, you know, the pedophile priest back in 2002.
Yeah.
That was a low point, obviously.
Right.
But since 2012, it's just been a very steady decline.
Yeah.
For the general opinion of Americans clergy.
I don't have a particularly high opinion. Although, I will say this. You see somebody walking around with that collar on.
Yeah.
And you think a little differently about that person. I'm not sure what I think that's different. But I respond differently to a man in priestly garb than to just regular Joe on the street. Now, why I would have that response is funny to me, but it's true.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very serious what he's wearing.
Yeah. Just feels like,
there's authority.
I kind of want to like buy myself some priest gear and just walk around in it.
Well, they didn't just make that shit up.
Yeah, I know.
That stuff has evolved over time.
And they've spent some time. They've done a lot of PR work to make sure that that look has a certain gravitas to it.
Yeah,
it's an image that's been tarnished of late. Yeah. But
I mean, that little white little square right there at your neck, that
says I'm a serious man.
It's
I am serious. What do you got there? A tie? Yeah. I got a white tab. So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Fool.
Idiot. All right, I am going, again, there's, so the new year is coming, as you know, 2019,
ugh.
Last year of the teens.
Ooh. Then we're on to the 20s. We get an actual decade again.
Yeah, the roaring 20s. We'll all do the jitterbug. So we've reported on before, do you remember hearing about Project Blitz? So this is the evangelical right, the crazy white right-wing evangelical playbook to...
It's truly evil.
Flood America with state-level and local-level bills all over the country.
National motto stuff.
And do it so much that... even if most of them are challenged, a few of them squeak through.
Right.
Their whole idea is we'll get some through the cracks.
Oh, God.
And they have updated for 2019. Their playbook was 116 pages. Oh. It is now 148 pages.
Oh, my. Oh, boy.
And basically, it's things like, they want to try and ram through... Some of the laws are ridiculous, and I don't have any objection to putting those laws in because they don't mean anything. Laws like, for instance, making sure legislation that ensures that a student in a public school has the right to pray, which they already do. That's well established. They can pray on their own. That legislation changes nothing.
Right. Okay.
But they... feel like it will be a stepping stone to other legislation. You know what I mean? But then they're also, they want to make sure that In God We Trust license plates are available in every state.
Right.
Did you know that when they were going to do those here, and they're here, Utah has In God We Trust license plates, they tried to make them the default?
Well, it's one of the three defaults.
Well, it's one of the three free ones, but it's not the default. If you just say, I don't care, they won't give you that one.
No, so the way that it works in Utah is... It's a random thing. If you don't declare which one you want, they could send you one of the three. It could either be Ski Utah, the Arch one, or it could be that one.
Really?
It's It's one of the defaults.
But it's not the default. They were going to make it the default.
They were going to make it the only default.
Yes.
We have three defaults.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Yeah. Anyway, so they're working on that. The real one that they want, the one that's disturbing that they're trying to do is urging states to pass resolutions. Now, you know very well that resolutions don't actually have any enforceable meaning.
Right.
They're not laws. They don't do anything. They're just sort of a government declaring their own preferences. Gesundheit. Oh, my goodness.
Are you okay? That was terrible. Oh, my God. Thank you, though. Thanks for the health wishes.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, they want this Project Blitz wants to make 2019 the year that states pass resolutions that favor sexual intercourse only between a man and a woman.
Ah, okay.
They justify it by saying that, you know, AIDS is really bad. They don't like AIDS, so we should be much more pro straight sex. Straights can't get AIDS.
You know, we used to go around saying, you know, you guys are like living in the 50s. These folks are living in the 80s. Like, they are just,
yeah.
Go back to the 80s, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're trying to make it about, it's about public health.
Yeah.
We hate the gays because of the health issue.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So watch for it. 2019, there will be a lot of people. Unfortunately, they didn't have their red tsunami that they had hoped for in the midterm elections.
Yeah.
So who knows what will happen. But watch, you keep an eye on your own state. Because you may need to engage in a fight. They're going to be out there trying to flood your state legislature with bullshit.
Lots of it.
Yep. Hey, if y'all have anything you'd like to tell us about, if your state is engaging in the bullshit and you want to let us know, you can write to us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Indeed. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and click on that like button.
And while you're there, search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge and request to join. It's a closed group, but we will let you in.
That's right.
Dan.
Have you been watching Jim Baker's show again?
You caught me. I love Jim Baker so much. Oh,
yeah, well, I mean,
that crazy old man.
You buy six of his buckets, you're fed for life. Did you know that?
That is a fact. Is that how long it's supposed to last?
No, that's just, it will kill you. I'm just saying the end of your life is coming quicker than you imagined.
I've been going through them a little more quickly than that, Dan. They are delicious. Holy fuck. Should see the meals I've been making, Dan.
Oh, it's just
a slurry of the most delicious things.
What's great is you can mix and match. It's fantastic.
Yeah. You don't need no like high speed crazy blender system. No, folks. Oh. This stuff comes ready.
It's
all of your easy through the straw consumption.
It's like Blue Apron for the apocalypse. Anyway, he had a guest on his show recently. One Jeremiah Johnson. Isn't that a name?
Jeremiah Johnson. I know that name. What is that name?
Wasn't he a frontiersman? Wasn't there a movie? I want to say Robert Redford.
Well, I don't know.
As a frontiersman.
Wasn't it
as a trapper or something?
The founder of Springfield on The Simpsons?
I don't. Yes. That's Jeremiah Springfield.
Jedediah
Springfield.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
Jeremiah, no, that guy, I've heard this name before. He says crazy shit.
He's going places, this guy. Anyway, he's going to tell us all about how great the Donald is for our country and what good things are in store for us.
Oh, well, thanks, guy.
He's a prophet.
You have something to tell us about Donald Trump today. And you said that Donald Trump has an iron grip or something. What does that mean?
Yes, you know, back,
I read that about what you said.
Yeah, back in July of 2015, I had had a prophetic experience concerning Donald Trump that was released. That word was released around the nation. Yes. I didn't really follow him a whole lot. I was later connected to Lance Wall now and several others. Mm. But I had another series of dreams recently about Donald Trump, about an iron grasp that he had on the liberal agenda in America, that God was really going to use him to really squeeze out some things that needed to come out. But also it was a word of warning. You know, sometimes when we dream, we don't make it up. It's just whatever God says. And actually that grip was so tight that it worried some people. I felt like in the dream that maybe even pride could become a factor in the days ahead, that the church needs to be praying that the Lord has anointed Trump. He's given him kind of this authority in the nation. But sometimes when we grow successful, we can grow prideful. And I just think it's real important that the church prays for Trump, that as his grip tightens on the nation, that good things come because of it.
Amen. Amen. That's a good word.
You said something in your book, I think, about the Daniel Company.
Yes. Yes. God began to show me part of the help that Donald Trump needs is a Daniel Company around him. The Lord highlighted Sarah Huckabee to me. The Lord highlighted Mike Pence to me. I also believe it's a word for the church. You know, that Daniel Company, that anointing that he carried, I think it's going to help Trump stay humble. I think he needs men and women around him that are going to speak the truth.
Yes.
We want to make sure that he's really walking in godliness. And so I kind of see these tools, this Daniel Company. The Lord told me that Donald Trump's presidency will be defined by his character. You know, I wrote in the new book, actually an encounter that I had where I saw a baby with the face of Donald Trump being taken into a nursery at a church. And there was an older woman that began to rock Donald Trump, a baby Donald Trump. And she began to sing this song over him. And the song was, "Donald, you have a crooked way in you, but through the intercession of the church, God's going to change you."
Oh.
And so I really believe that, yes, Donald Trump has been anointed by God. Yes, he has a role to play, but so does the church. That's where the prophets, that's where the intercessors, this Daniel Company, I highlighted it in this new book, is going to come around him to help fulfill the purposes of God in our nation.
I don't know. I tried to look up Daniel Company to see what the hell he was talking about, and all I found was a bunch of companies called Daniel and Company or Daniel Company.
Right, of course.
Construction is apparently what he's into. How ballsy do you have to be to declare yourself a prophet based on a shitty nightmare about a baby that looks like Donald Trump?
Yeah.
That is a terrifying nightmare. Yeah. And I don't know how he can go around claiming that that's a dream that we should all be listening to, because that's crazy talk.
People love telling other people about their dreams.
Yeah, they do.
Like, that's...
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, he's just kind of taking it to a whole new level.
Yeah, know? Exactly. Usually when someone tells you about their weird-ass dream in which Donald Trump, a baby that's with the face of Donald Trump, is getting rocked by a lady, usually they're just trying to process something horrible that's happened to them. They don't try to tell you that that means that you're supposed to act in a certain way.
And that horrible thing that happened to them is Donald Trump was elected president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not awesome. All right. Well, we had some folks write into us. I will start. Jim from Australia wrote into us. "Hi, Dan and Frank. Well, hallelujah, God be praised. We here in Australia had no idea what had happened to our dear Archbishop Dr. Pell."
Yeah.
Now, I'll remind our listeners that we reported on George Pell who was the number three guy at the Vatican till recently, who has now been convicted of child molestation.
Yep.
Charges, and and there's been a they're not allowed to report on it in right. Australia where it happened.
So we've been broadcasting the news in.
Yeah, we're trying to hit one over the wall there.
Radio Free Australia.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome everyone.
And this is sorry, Jim goes on to say we were not even aware that the media that there was a media ban placed on the court proceedings.
Huh.
It has been a case of whatever happened to the multiple child abuse accusations leveled at Dr. Pell.
Wow.
Thanks, guys, for filling us in on the initial trial and the guilty findings. Many thanks for the information. We did hear that he and another high-ranking clergy have been demoted by the Pope. We now know why. We also wondered how he came to be back at the Vatican without any comment on his trial here. Do keep us informed. I have been spreading the word as it is so far. So, I'll hail the internet, I guess, for getting
fantastic.
The word out.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But he's got more trials coming up, so they're not going to hear anything until the other trials are completed.
Oh, wow.
They don't want to taint the trials with the... Because what if somebody went in... What if a jurist went into that trial went into that trial with the knowledge that he's already been convicted of child molestation?
Yeah.
They might think he's a child molester.
Hmm.
If they went in with that conviction in their minds. Anyway, there you go. Had another email. This one is unsigned. It says, "Hey guys, just going through the backlog and listened to an episode involving Anglicans, Episcopalians. Have a short story about my local ones. I used to live across the street from an Anglican church. One day, I was late getting my recycling out. The truck had passed my house, but it hadn't come to their side of the street yet, so I put my little recycling bin near, but not with, theirs. They stole my clearly labeled bin, refused to give it back when we asked."
What?
I was still deistic at the time and had been considering giving this church a shot. But this ordeal sealed their fate. A bin they already had 8 of was worth losing a lifetime of tithing money, I guess. It wasn't even a full-sized bin like theirs were. It was a tiny collapsible one made of reusable shopping bag material.
Oh.
Oh, well. Nice. Guess I should be thanking them for pushing me away even further. Damn thieves.
Ah, thieving Anglicans.
All those Anglicans are just a bunch of thieves. You put anything out in front of their curb.
It's theirs.
That belongs
to
them.
It's on our curb. It's ours. Forevermore.
Don't leave your babes in strollers.
No.
Unattended. Suddenly they'll have a kid. All right. We have some donors.
We have donors,
to
Dan.
Talk about. I'm going to start us off. I'll launch in because we have some PayPal donors. Lyle is giving on the monthly.
Uh-huh.
Level. So thank you so much, Lyle. I think that puts him at a faithful.
Nice.
And we got Amber giving us a one-time donation. So thank you to both so very, very much.
Yeah, and over on Patreon, we have some people to thank. We have a new faithful listener, Beth.
Lovely, thank you.
A new venerable listener, Brianna. We have a new saint.
Woo!
Amongst us, Dan.
Woo!
Phyllida?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we need to thank Jenny. She has been our Lord and Savior. She's been our top donor for a while now, Dan.
Yes, indeed.
But this week,
whoa,
we had someone new swoop in.
Oh, whoa.
This is amazing, Dan. It's an incredible... all the Lord and Saviors are incredibly generous, but... This is a new level.
Oh.
This is a new height, Dan.
Out of the park.
Out of the park. Jen.
Jen!
Woo!
Woo! So we got a Lord and Savior. We did believe in Jenny.
Yeah.
But now Jen has...
But now we have Jen. And I'm going to be working on an appropriate Jen or something.
Okay.
I don't have it yet.
That's okay. You work on it.
I'll work on it.
I will remind our listeners, since this is the last moment that it's possible, but
yeah.
I will remind our listeners that if you become a new patron, as you're listening to this, it may still be December for you.
Yeah.
And so one month of all of our new donors we'll be able to participate in the our drive to help the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Absolutely.
So everybody that signs up within the month of December, 1 month, 20% of 1 month of their giving goes to the FFRF, as does 20% of everything that we take in for the month of December.
Yep. So thank you, everybody, so much. It's been amazing. A lot of people have come out and shown up to start donating. Or donating, rather.
I like doning.
Doning.
Thanks.
It is the root.
What does a donor do?
they don. And we've had a lot of adjustments. People have adjusted up.
Yes.
Their donation. And so, thank you, guys. It means a lot. It makes the show keep going. Mm-hmm. Makes it possible for us to keep going. And this month, we're sharing.
Sharing the love.
The love with the FFRF. So thanks again.
Dan.
Yes, sir.
New Year's is upon us.
New Year's Rockin' Eve
is
coming. And then after that,
it'll be a new year.
A new year.
Another year.
Yeah.
They happen.
A whole nother year.
Yeah.
It's kind of how time works. We're all time travelers. We just go forward at the regular rate.
Yeah. Yeah, so kind of it's a time of the year, however, when people their minds turn to what they might want to do differently. In the new year.
Sure.
There's a lot of people declaring that they're going to have a new habit or break old habits.
Yeah, sure.
Or it's about a lot of self-improvement. People decide they're going to lose weight, blah, blah, blah.
Right. I like self-destruction. I'm gonna give up the gym and start smoking.
Might as well, Dan.
Sure.
Might as well.
It's my life.
You can do whatever you want.
Do whatever I want.
It is a new year. It's a new you.
But we thought what we'd do is make a suggestion.
Yeah.
For a very doable.
Yeah.
And worthy, we think, resolution.
Yeah, because I think that setting a goal to get something done, that's probably the habit ones are so hard. And if you go to a gym, some gym near you, you know that January. And February, maybe even a little less than January, they're just filled with people who are ready to they're gonna have a new body for 2019,
right?
Lose some weight, build a little muscle, whatever it is.
By May, it's empty again.
By May, it's back to normal. I would say probably by March, it's back to normal. but nonetheless, those ones are hard. You're changing your life in a way that requires effort every single day. And so we were thinking about something that maybe you could just decide to do, something to get done. And it's not that it will be easy.
Mm.
So this is not an easy thing that we're proposing. And
it can be. It doesn't have to be hard.
Well, it depends on your situation, right? And that's the idea of coming out as an atheist.
Yeah. Or taking some step in that.
Or toward it.
In the direction of visibility for atheism.
Yeah.
One of the problems that we have, and you and I have talked about this a lot, is that atheists hide.
Uh-huh.
It's easy to hide your atheism. You don't have to say it, and nobody can see it on you. We don't tattoo the mark of the beast on everyone's forehead yet. Working on that. That'll happen. But
that's more of a 2020.
Yeah. But for now,
this year,
there's a lot of atheists in a lot of closets.
Uh-huh.
And that's reasonable. There are good reasons why that happens.
Well, it's an incredibly, or historically, it's been incredibly stigmatized.
Yes, indeed.
To be atheist.
Lower on the trust poll than rapists at one point.
Yeah. Now Americans tend to be fairly indifferent on their views of atheists.
Yes, they're warming to a thaw.
Still on the cooler side of indifferent.
But yes.
We're approaching that. We're kind of in the middle. It's us versus Muslims, really, as far as
it's neck and neck for who's the worst in the world. but a big part of this is a problem of visibility.
Yeah.
Because people don't know that their friend and colleague at work is an atheist. Yeah. And they don't know that their neighbor who's really sweet and shoveled their walk is an atheist.
Right.
And they don't know any of this stuff. So there's, as we learned from the gay community and the civil rights move, the gay rights movement.
Right.
Visibility is the key to everything.
Absolutely.
Knowing that your nephew is an atheist or was gay is the key to people's minds changing.
And this has been shown.
Yeah.
Right. Like, people have looked into it. It's true. If you know any, if you know a gay person, it's just you are more likely to view them favorably.
Right. Or to at least
the,
not
gay, the gay community as a whole favorably.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, so our suggestion is take a step.
Yeah. And this is up to you.
Well, yeah. What the step is, we're not saying that you have to, you know, just, I mean, if you want to put on a sandwich board and march around downtown
with a bell,
with a bell, just
ringing like, that fucker, you know,
that may
hear
not,
ye, hear ye.
That may not go the way we want it to. That particular choice might not do good things for the atheist community, but it'll certainly be visible.
You might get some press.
You never know. But yeah, if you decide that you want to tell a family member that doesn't know.
Yeah.
Or if you decide that you want to, you know, even if you really can't come out, and there are people whose livelihoods will be at risk,
right,
even though they shouldn't be.
We know that we have listeners who attend church still.
Yes.
Right? Because that's their situation. They have figured it out, and they're like, you know, this is still required of me. But maybe there's something there you can do. Maybe it's, you know, in sort of a Mormon context, not taking that calling.
Yeah.
You know, or kind of minimizing your involvement or more.
Maybe you've thought about not going to church anymore.
Yeah.
And this is the year that you stop.
Yeah.
You just say, you know what? My butt in that pew means something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to not grant my visual assent to this for this year.
And maybe you're not ready to tell everyone that you're atheist.
Right.
But at least you're not going to go to church.
Yeah. Your absence is a thing.
Yeah.
The other thing, you know, and it may just be now. A lot of our listeners, you know, you don't listen to a show called Thank God I'm Atheist. A lot of our listeners are already fully out of the closet.
Yeah, of course.
Some of them obnoxiously so. but you know, one of the things that you can do if you're already, you know, out and proud is find yourself a little protege.
Oh.
You know, someone who isn't as out and is scared and isn't as open. And just, you know, guide them to a step.
Lend them some support. Yeah. Friendship.
None of this has to be, everybody has to be out of the closet all the way right now, and everybody has to be, you know, loud and proud. But, you know, one step, one little thing along that way. A lot of this is practice anyway. You'll find that you're emboldened the more you do it.
Right.
So if you tell someone at work, you know, if someone at work suggests, you know, we should all have a Christmas party and let's pray about it. You know, let's pray. If you're the one who's bold enough to say, you know what, that might make some of us uncomfortable and I'd prefer that we didn't pray, but let's have the party and let's all have a good time.
Yeah.
Little moments like that have ripples.
Mm, that's true.
You know, if you're bold enough to be the one who can kind of just ask people to be more respectful.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
I think that's wonderful.
2019, I think for all you TGIAers out there, I think it's a good year to consider taking some more steps.
Add another bumper sticker to your car.
you've already got so many.
Yeah, you're that far out as an atheist. Well,
get another one. Yeah, exactly. Put it on somebody else's car. It'll be fine.
Honk, I'm atheist.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, you might get some honking.
Yeah.
But you know, this is not a suggestion that without peril. There is some danger to it. As a matter of fact, since you brought up bumper stickers, I did see someone post on Facebook a little bit ago that they had their window broken, likely because of atheist bumper stickers.
Yeah.
People we can't guarantee that everyone's going to respond well to it.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't want to delude you like that, because a lot of people can, you know, have had very, very negative experiences.
Yeah, I know.
Families disowning.
Yeah.
But
it can be hard. It can be really, really hard. But
I think that
there's a lot of rewards for you personally, I think, on the other side.
I think so, too. And even families that react badly 10 years, 5 years down the line.
They come around.
Often come around.
Some, yeah.
Not all.
Not all of them come around, but a lot of them come around. I mean, my family has pretty much come around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you just went and had Christmas, and your boyfriend came with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can be amazing what can happen. Yeah. It's not guaranteed, but, you know, if you handle yourself well, then at least you know you're being true to you.
Yeah. And, you know, and here's the deal. And this is the honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
When you come out as an atheist or likewise as a gay person and or whatnot, you come out and you tell you start being honest and real with everybody in a way that they may not like.
Right.
You know, you can lose friends
mm-hmm.
in the process. You gain other friends in time.
Yeah.
Right. If it causes a rift with your family, you'll find a chosen family.
Yeah.
Right. Like there are people out there who are going to love you for who you are. And that's almost a fact.
And that's right? A precious thing.
Yeah.
Because the people that you're going to lose, they don't know it right now, but they don't love you for who you are.
Yeah.
Those people love you for who they paint you to be.
Right.
And, you know, if you come out to someone and they reject you,
uh-huh.
they never loved you for you.
Right.
They loved you for the you that they thought you were.
And if it's your parents, they might have some work to do. But that's their work to do.
That's right.
Don't take that work from them.
Yeah.
They'll be a better person at the other end of the whole thing.
Yep. Yep. So that's our challenge to you. this is not the first time we've rung this bell, but we're ringing it. it's an important marching call, and a good thing to make your goal for the
year.
I think
it's a good one. It's a good one. I normally shy away from the whole resolution thing. I think they're funny. I'll come up with funny resolutions and
right.
whatnot. But I, you know, I don't. I really don't take it as I take it as an opportunity because it's such an easy time to reflect on one's life
right.
to do that reflection. But I often the whole resolution thing can feel a little empty.
Are you taking this one on? Are you gonna take a step? Are you gonna do a thing in 2019?
Oh God damn it! How much more do I have to do, Dan?
You have to do it. Well, you think being a podcaster
for a podcaster.
7 years is it gets you out of this?
I don't know. It's something, isn't it?
It is something. But I think you and I still, there's still more work that
there's
we can do.
There's still more work we can do.
So, like, I
don't know what it is,
commit,
but I take on the challenge.
I will
the
commit
challenge.
To taking a step. I will figure out a step to take. I will find a way to take someone by the hand or to do something. I'll find a way to come out a little bit more or to increase.
Yeah. I've got a bumper sticker. Actually, it's more of a license plate bracket.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
What does it say?
It says, Jesus saves souls and redeems them for valuable cash and prizes.
Okay. It's the Price is Right version. I like it.
However, maybe I'll do something other than that.
Yeah.
I do care for my car.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I may not put anything on my car.
But I don't want my anything to happen.
But
to my
everybody's
car.
Activism looks a little different.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
So we'll find our own.
I'm gonna wear more atheist t-shirts. How's that?
Ooh, fancy.
That's a thing.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Why not?
Indeed.
That's
we got them.
You said it can be small.
It can be.
That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't. I mean, and the other thing is, it's not about pleasing us. It's just about
pleasing you,
helping the world a little bit.
Yeah,
so do it at your own pace, in your own way.
Oh yeah, indeed. All right, guys.
All right, well,
we sure appreciate you.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, if you have a way that you would like to show the world that you're atheist and you'd like to tell us about it, write to us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com,
or you can call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Indeed. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and click that like button.
And while on Facebook, search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge. Request to join. It's a closed group, but we will let you in.
Yes, indeed. Hey, thanks so much to, speaking of Facebook, to Mackenzie for all of her hard work on the Facebook page, and to Danny and Sarah for being admins, moderators, or whatever they are, in the Members Only Lounge.
And a big thanks goes out to the Red Rock Hot Club for the use of their music, and to Gordon Johnston for the use of his music.
Yes, indeed. What else do we say?
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks
for
everybody.
Your support.
Yeah, we appreciate
you. And may you have a happy new year.
Cheers!